Hello, airport industry folks. Welcome to the AX Insider podcast, and thank you for tuning in. I'm Andy Telejohn, the senior writer at Airport Experience News. This podcast will be part of our 20 Years, 20 Voices series, celebrating the upcoming 20th Airport Experience Conference. And during these calls, we've been talking with industry veterans who've overseen the evolution of the concessions and customer service industry at airports over the last two decades and change. Today, we're talking with Daryl Benton, Chief Development Officer at Avolta, which is comprised of HMS Host, Hudson, and Dufry. Daryl, thanks for taking some time. You've got a lot going on these days with all the even the name changes and all of that.
Thank you, Andy. And I'm really excited about this this podcast series that AXN is hosting. So thank you. And yes, there are a lot of exciting things going on.
Yes, absolutely. So Daryl, you've been at this for 30 years, about 10 years at Host, and then previous to that, you were with Hudson previously, and at the Orlando Airport before that. How did you get into the airport in the first place? What led you to the airport, and what made you decide to stick around?
Yeah, Andy, I can't believe next April will be 30 years. I was a banker in Central Florida, and was fortunate at a community event to meet the late Bill Jennings, who was my mentor. And he introduced me to the airport industry, which later became a job offer to join the Greater Orlando Aviation Authority as the assistant director of the small business program.
The small business program. It's been really interesting talking to folks about how they got into the industry in the first place, and how much of a role mentorship has played into that. Did you know Mr. Jennings before that event, or how did that, tell me a little more about that and what that mentorship meant toward your getting into the industry here?
You know, one thing, even in my role today, networking has always been a part of my career, and I encourage, all professionals, but especially young professionals. No, I did not know Bill Jennings. I was actually at a chamber event in Orlando and met him. And as networking would go, we start talking about what I did at the bank and what he did at the airport. And just in one statement, he talked about this airport concessions disadvantaged business enterprise, ACDBE, DBE. And he made a statement that changed my life. He basically said, it would be interesting having a banker run this program. And that conversation ended up 6 months later becoming a job offer, which was career changing.
Isn't that something? That's so tell me about, when you got into the industry versus what the industry looks like now, it's a whole different world, and the concessions and the customer experience have evolved quite a bit over the years. You've been with Host most recently before the change to Avolta. What role do you think you and Host have played in creating some of this evolution over the last few years?
Yeah, and it's interesting that the first 5 years of my career at Greater Orlando Aviation Authority, I ran the small business program, but received a promotion to take on concessions. And again, what a career move that ended up being, because I got involved in our first redevelopment of the Orlando International Airport Concessions Program. This would have been probably around 1999. The spaces were dark. The amenities were few. The food selection was pizza and hamburgers and hot dogs. Even that recreation of that program in 2000, We evolved into casual dine restaurants that were, even at that time, the likes of national brands like Chili's, TGI Fridays. And that evolution happened in the early 2000s. And now we've moved to national brands, but also a lot of iconic local restaurants. The quality of the food, I think we would all say, has just improved, as well as the other amenities of specialty retail, core convenience, of course, duty free. So the entire evolution in my 30 years has just really evolved to quality.
Absolutely. No, we're talking with Daryl Benton, the Chief Development Officer at Avolta, which is made up of HMS Host, Hudson, and Dufry. You know, you talked about running the concessions program at Orlando and running the ACDBE program. ACDBE is typically, I mean, they're smaller businesses. With Host and with Hudson, you're with a couple of the larger companies in the industry now. How do you keep those companies, the larger companies, nimble and able to keep on top of these trends and the changes and what's going on with the industry these days?
Yes, Andy. And the good thing about these 30 years for me is I now, and I just for the record, I hope to go another 30. These young professionals who talk about retirement, I joke with my colleagues here that I have 30 more to go. So, but it's just so interesting what, you know, if I look at the consolidation of the airline industry, I can remember when there were 12 signatory airlines and today they're the big five. I also recall the rental car industry when there were eight, and you know, today, even though there's some co-branding of an Avis or a Budget, but you know, there are four, maybe five players, six at the most in the rental car space. I think even though, you know, some of the larger concessionaires like Avolta, Hudson, Host and Dufry, you know, Paradies, Lagardère, you know, the purchasing of other smaller companies, it is still one airport at a time though. So you have to stay nimble, because our landlords, our airport partners, they don't want to be like everyone else. So the ACDBE program, even though it's not local in its creation, you're looking for those local entrepreneurs. The airport does not want all national brands. So you have to know your local community. So overall, the very makeup of how we compete forces us to remain nimble.
Yeah, that's for sure. And you've had some of the stalwarts in the industry like Ron Gomes, and I know now Shelby Scales working on some of those partnerships and diversity concerns for the company over the years, without question. I'm curious to talk a little bit about the diversity side of things. As you mentioned earlier, you got into running concessions at Orlando, but were hired there at first to work on the ACDBE program. What would you say the industry looks like now in terms of, because you know there's a lot more diversity, a lot more players out there, but there's also you know, there's challenges to the program going forward. The Supreme Court decision that came out recently could have an impact. What would you say the industry looks like on a diversity front right now compared to when you got into the industry 30 years ago?
Well, first of all, we always hear that diversity and inclusion is good for business. And when I think of diversity, of course, I think of myself, right? African-American male. I look at women in aviation. I love going to AXN, AAAE, ACI, AMAC. The Women in Aviation Breakfast or Lunch has become a marquee event. I can recall on the professional side of aviation where it was a male-dominated field. So not only in diversity and procurement, Andy, but we have to look at the evolution of women, ethnic minorities, on the professional side, the contracting side, young professionals who can now see themselves in as women-owned businesses, as CEOs running airports and companies. So just in my 30 years, the industry has been very good to me. I like to, you know, tell folks, yes, I'm qualified, but I can never forget that I do compete in an industry that I was not normally a part of. And therefore, historical exclusion has seen a 30-year evolution of inclusion. And that is good for all.
Absolutely. We're talking with Daryl Benton. He's the Chief Development Officer of Avolta, made up of HMS Host, Hudson, and Dufry. Daryl, you just mentioned briefly your son. There's a lot of turnover going on right now within the ACDB program. There's some folks getting out, retirements, whatever. What are you noticing with some of the folks that are coming up, the quote unquote next generation of airport operators and ACDBE operators that are carrying the program forward?
Yeah, well, first, I am a proud parent of three adults. You and I were talking about your young family, and they do grow up, and the good news is they leave. We have one who went into the military, and we have a daughter who's an actress, and I have a son who did not follow my footsteps in terms of being a professional, but he's a concessionaire. So as I see the second generation, I do see one of the outcomes of the pandemic is we are seeing some of our season. I think sometimes we refer to them as legacy ACDBEs exiting the business. There are some second generation children who were in the family business, and I'm excited about that cadre of leaders because they know the business. But Andy, I'm also seeing when I go to AMAC or I go to some of the diversity sessions, there are a lot of bright-eyed new people. And I am concerned because the cost of entry now is very expensive. And some of the initiatives that I recall 30 years ago that we were doing to help people enter the business, I think we're going to have to begin to rethink about that, because the cost of entry could become prohibitive.
Can you expand on that a little bit? Do you have an example or two of where things might be getting a little out of control, or any ideas on how you'd like to see those solved?
Thanks for asking. Obviously, the things that we compete, the categories we always compete in, is capital investment. You know, what are you going to invest in building your store? Obviously, you've got to find the concept, and then you have to compete on a competitive minimum annual guarantee. So obviously, there is no remedy for what it's going to cost you to design or construct your store. But when I started Orlando 30 years ago, Orlando provided a 20% rent credit to ACDBEs. Basically, if you bid $1 million mag, the airport would give you a 20% rent credit for 2 years. And that was a point of entry incentive that really gave a small business a little foot up in getting into the business. So again, there's no way to minimize the cost of design and construction, but there was a recognition that there was something that the public entity could do to try to level the playing field. And I think the last point I want to make on that, fracturing contracts where airports in trying to improve competition, they really took away the prime's ability. If you had a larger number of stores in a contract and I had to meet a 20% goal, I could bring the DBE under me as a joint venture partner or a subtenant, therefore providing some umbrella. But again, there was a push to create more competition. By doing that, you made the leases smaller, and therefore small businesses had to go out and fend more for themselves.
Okay. All right. Daryl, we've talked a lot about how the customer experience at airports has gotten better, food quality's better, more interesting concepts. What's an amenity or service that you're seeing pop up at airports right now that you really like, that maybe has improved your experience at the airport when you're on one of your many travels?
You know, I thought about that question in detail, and I wanted to start by saying our airports are still space restrained. So if you go to, you've got to have duty free, you've got to have food and beverage, you need core convenience, and then specialty, and then you need services. So, Andy, when you start thinking about what else can we add, we're really limited because of we're in an airport first, right? And therefore, notwithstanding our efforts to make our domestic airports in the U.S. more comparable to what we go and see in international airports, I think we still have to have duty-free where needed. I think the move for specialty, we may start seeing that space need to be allocated more toward food because people really want, you know, the impulse and the need to eat. And then obviously, I see more store within stores where you don't have that hard line between specialty and core convenience. You may expand that footprint and do more store within the store because the specialty retail cost to build is equivalent to a core news. So how do you maximize that space to get a better spin? I think we're going to need to see more store within the stores in core convenience as well as specialty.
Okay. And it seems like the industry might agree with you on that because that does seem to be popping up more and more. Those seem to be pretty popular right now.
And I'll add on the food side, you know, I think the whole Auto Grill and Do Free, as well as Paradies, Lagadier, others who are looking at merging, I think fundamentally, we at Avolta, we see that the store within the store, the hybrid concept, how can you mix food and beverage with core convenience, those hard lines between, you know, can you put a cash wrap at the checkout at a restaurant where, you know, you may be able to get your favorite candy bar. So how do you maximize that space and create more uses within spaces?
So when I'm going to the airport and I forget my phone charger and I go to pick up my the toothpaste or toothbrush that I forgot, and I try to fit that in around getting a cocktail or two in before I get on the plane, I'll be able to just walk out of there one time with one charge on my credit card.
We think at Avolta, and I love to see this hard line where core convenience couldn't sell bottled water, right? Let's take that one as an easy example. And the food and beverage thought we would lose business if the core convenience could start selling bottled water. What we really found was Andy did not want to get in two lines, so bottled water sales went up. And so I think as our airport partners find a way to maximize this limited space, we're going to have to blur the lines on use clauses because it may be proven that Andy will buy more if he doesn't have to get in multiple lines to get what he needs.
Well, Andy's not going to lie. What Andy would really like is if I could sit down like Norm on Cheers at my bar stool and have somebody bring me my toothpaste and toothbrush and charger cord. And then, yes, check out one time without getting into any lines. But I may be asking a little too much on that. But that is an interesting concept. And with the joining of Hudson and Host and Do Free, I mean, presumably you've got some ideas for how that kind of concept may work together going forward. Should we be looking for efficiencies like that out of this joining of Hudson and Host?
Absolutely. I think the hybrid concepts, and I think our airport partners are going to be the ones who will realize the cost, all of us, the cost of construction is not something that's going to go down. So we're just going to have to find the space, Andy, and make it more efficient. Because remember, those hard lines of food, specialty, services, duty-free, the airport footprint can't get bigger in some cases. Many of our, we only build maybe one or two new airports in this country a year. So that means we're retrofitting, we're improving, but that base building hold room, restroom, corridor movement. That concession space is valuable, limited real estate. So the hybrid will be the Avolta efforts with our landlords and our airport partners.
Okay. You mentioned we're doing a lot of retrofitting. Do we need to, as an industry, be looking at more new rebuilds, not new rebuilds, new builds altogether, rather than some of this retrofitting?
I think our airport partners deal with the same issues we as business entities deal with, and that is access to capital and resources to pay back debt. So building an airport is a very expensive proposition. So I think we will be improving upon, you know, how often do you tear down an airport? You know, New Orleans did one. Some of our infrastructure is getting pretty old. So I think we may see more new infrastructure as funding becomes available.
Fair enough. Daryl Benton, Chief Development Officer at Avolta. You touched just briefly a few minutes back on how we don't always see the same things here that we might see overseas in some of our international airports. I'm wondering if there's an amenity or a service that you've seen, you know, on the street or in one of those international airports that hasn't made it to North America, and if there's something you'd like to see North American airports add.
Andy, on my international experience in my travel, I still think the U.S. domestic travel experience, you know, we're still, unless we're traveling internationally, we're moving within states within the U.S. or Canada. Often in international experiences, travelers are moving between countries, you know, very short distance. So the duty-free shopping experience sometimes can almost become their what we may refer to as a mall or now Amazon, but experience.
Sure.
So I still, and I think we had that big push towards specialty that we would make our airports these mall experiences. And I don't think we got the uptick in per spend in our specialty effort. That's why I think you're going to see some of that space repurposed to food and beverage, core convenience or store within sport. Store within stores. So when I go around and I see the amenities, and remember, even our U.S. malls are closing, right, because of online shopping. So I think the airport experience is going to be maximizing the real estate. And even though there may be a new amenity like a spa treatment, that space is so valuable. And I think the airports are going to need the non-aeronautical revenue. Therefore, I see repurposing of some of the specialty space, not to a new service, but better food service, better core convenience, store within stores to maximize the return on the real estate for the landlord as well as for the business.
All right. Sounds good. So plenty of change yet to come over your next 30 years.
I can't tell you, one, I'm excited again at AXN that you've done this podcast series, but this industry has been very good to Daryl Benton and my family. And to be a part of it and to be a part of Avolta, where we will compete on the food side as HMS hosts, we will compete on the retail side as Hudson, and we will compete on the duty-free side as Do Free. So really Avolta, but three lines of business, and looking forward to serving our airport partners and the traveling public.
Well, Daryl, it's been good hearing your thoughts on this. I got to be honest with you. If you're still doing this in 30 years, somebody else will be doing the interview. I intend to be very good at retirement someday. That said, I appreciate your taking some time and sharing some thoughts. Is there anything you'd like to add that we haven't hit on?
I want to celebrate AXN. I do remember when it was a news flyer. And just like our industry has evolved, hats off to your leadership and what AXN continues to bring to our industry and great media coverage and the conference. Thank you.
Thank you, Daryl. Appreciate your time.